Hello, hello, hello. So we are here to talk about one of the items of pride in Prescott, and that's the Prescott Elks Theater. So why don't you folks introduce yourselves, and then let's tell the people of Prescott what makes this building so cool and about some of the things they probably don't know about.
Okay. My name is Steve Kartstein. I am the Marketing Program Director at the Elks Theater and Performing Arts Center. And this?
Yeah, my name is Trevor Odom. I'm the Assistant Marketing and Programs Director over there as well.
Yeah. So why don't you pull your mic up closer towards you a little bit, and then let's start talking. Let's take a walk down the past a little bit. Okay. Talk about the history of the building.
Well, the theater and the Performing Arts Center, as it stands right now, was the original Elks Lodge built in 1905 by the Brotherhood of Elks, Lodge Number 330. And it was their home for as long as, must have been about 50 years, maybe a little longer than that. And the actual lodge itself, where we are, is basically the same way that it was built way back then, 115 years ago. The first floor is retail. Second floor was actually at that time was the county seat because this lodge was the first in the it was a territory of Arizona back then, and the lodge itself was the first Elks Lodge built. And at the same time, they built the theater. They decided they wanted the theater because there was no entertainment venue in the city of Prescott. And between here and the Mississippi River, this was considered the jewel in the western United States. There was nothing like it unless you went to San Francisco. So they built the theater, they built the lodge. The top floors were their own private rooms. That's where they did their parties and played their poker and all of that kind of stuff. And in the beginning, the theater had vaudeville acts and silent movies, and then around 1930, the talkies appeared, and they had their first talkie movies come in. They had the RCA Victor state-of-the-art talking picture shows. It was quite the thing back then. And after that, the theater changed hands, the building changed hands time after time after time, until finally the Performing Arts Center, where Trevor and I are, became private offices for lawyers, and the theater was owned by the city of Prescott, actually, for a period of time. The foundation, the arts foundation that we work for, the Elks Arts Foundation, purchased the theater in 2010 from the city, and then our building in 2011, the Performing Arts Center, and undertook a remodel of our building that lasted until, to the very, very end of 2016. So we've only been open for 2.5 years tops, at the best.
Weren't there some pretty well-known singers back or performers that came to Prescott back in the early 1900s and 1800s?
There were some, but I can't tell you who they were. I'd have to go read about them. But there were, when we were cleaning out the bottom of the theater one day, we came across all these old posters and information, and they all went over to the Charlotte Hall Museum for them to sort through and find out what was important and what was relevant to historical reference.
Because I thought I read somewhere, I could totally be wrong, but I thought maybe Jenny Lind came and sang at one point here.
That sounds familiar. That
and, name sounds familiar. So, Little Prescott's been on the map for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Trevor, why don't you talk about where you come from and how you got involved in this project, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, so I actually was in the Navy for 5 years. And when I got out, we moved here because this is where my wife's from. This is her hometown. Uh-huh. So I've really enjoyed living here in Prescott. And one of the things that I knew is the building, I knew the building owner, or the building manager, actually. Okay. And so she asked me, hey, do you want to come in and do the project? I actually have a educational background in business. That's what I went to college for. Oh, and okay. So one of the things that I've really been involved in is developing, you know, the scholarship outreach programs, working with the schools. I did a lot of the development for the recording studio and things like that. Some of the more special projects that go on in the Performing Arts Center, I've kind of taken control of and made those come to fruition. So
that's awesome. And I know I'm kind of getting off script a little bit, so we can, you know, but let's talk about the fact you mentioned that there's really two facilities with your right. within your organization. So let's talk about how that splits up a little bit.
There, it's very true. There's the theater aspect, and then there's the Performing Arts Center. Now, the theater has been in existence forever, and they have their musical shows, their theater events, and Colette Greenlee and Jennifer Ward, the managers there, do a great job of, you know, managing that end of the business. And our end of the business is we have the event halls at the top, the ballrooms. We have on the second floor is the two dance halls. One is the Marley floor for ballet with bar. The second one is Hickory floor for tap and other kinds of dance like that. And we rent all of those facilities out to the public for use, very, very affordable rates. Mm-hmm. We are a 501c nonprofit. And the jewel on the second floor is the recording studio. And I think Trevor can probably certainly talk to you because it was more about that, because it was absolutely his project and he made it happen.
Yeah, so there had been intention of making a recording studio from the time that we took over the building. It was one of the main points of having the building, was having the classrooms. Each element of the second and third floor was intentionally made when they renovated the building.
To make it more conducive for learning, right?
Yeah,
as
basically,
well
it's
as
supposed
performing.
Exactly. It's supposed to be a learning and performing space. It's supposed to be a community space. We are a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of our rates are subsidized, and that was one of the subsidized services that we wanted to have. You know, one thing after another, when you open a new building, of course, things come up, and that project had not happened after a year and a half of us being open. So I took over that project, and I got the quotes in, and we ended up, there's $25,000 of equipment in there.
Wow.
We have top-of-the-line Apple products. You know, everything's digital. We do have a board. We have up to 8 channels in there now. The recording engineer is a, you know, Arizona hometown recording engineer. He was trained professionally in Phoenix. He's gone to school to do this. We've had several projects that have happened in there, everything from podcasts to we did recently have a band cut their first CD in the building. So
that's cool.
And to be able to do that at the, you know, and subsidize that and have them be able to do that because, you know, the leader of the band actually came up to Justin Ames, who's the name of the recording engineer, and said, hey, I wouldn't have been able to do this anywhere else. I would have had to go save up, you know, and go to Phoenix, and I would have been out 2, 3, 4 times as much. So they were really appreciative of having that space here, and so really glad that we were able to put that in.
So, and you had to make special accommodations with the building in order to make those sound studios work, right?
Yeah, so basically the way that it works is when the building was originally made, we did have what's called winger sound booths. So they're sound isolation rooms. Mm-hmm. Basically, when you go in there, it locks all the sound out. It's a professional setup. And we have 5 of those in the building. And those were there when I arrived, which was in January of 2017. Mm-hmm. From there, we needed to put in the actual channels, all of the wiring and the recording equipment. And like I said, just one thing after another happened, and it ended up getting postponed until, you know, we really wanted to make sure that was in there. So myself and with Steven's support, we made sure that, you know, we were able to get the quotes and get the work done in there to be able to have that open. And now we've had, you know, pretty steady success with that area.
And didn't you have to put in false walls or something, or, you know, for the soundproofing?
Not necessarily false walls, but the way that the sound booths work is they're mm-hmm. individual sound booths that are of different sizes, and they're pre-manufactured that way.
Okay.
So the walls in between are of those sound booths.
Okay.
So. Yeah, they're basically prefab and they're drop-in. Mm-hmm. So you could take them out and move them to another part of the building if you were so inclined. Otherwise, they just stay where they are. But if you go into one of the larger rooms, you can see the window, the outside window is there because it's just a frame within that frame.
Right. Okay. So, and anybody in the community or from Phoenix or whatever can come and reserve those sound booths for use?
Yeah, they're 100% open. We do contract with one engineer, and the way that we work it is if anybody wants to use the booths, either he can bring them in from his side, or they can contact us at the Performing Arts Center, and we can get them in connection with each other, and they can schedule their session. So the rooms come with a professional recording engineer as well, and they can book that through us or through him.
So okay, we've had it work both ways. And I assume how to do that is on your website at some point?
Yeah, so actually, speaking of the website, we are rebuilding the website right now, which will have more functionality. At this point, there is information on where to call it, general information, but if you call the general number, which we will reiterate at the end of the podcast, but it is 928-756-2844. If you call that number, then we can get you information about any of the services that we have in the second or third floor.
Okay, yep. That's great.
Absolutely.
So so we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but you have a definite mission for how you want to operate within our community. And so why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, we are a 501c3, and our mission within the community is to promote and support the performing arts. So everything we do is with that in mind, whether it's the dance studios or even the ballroom use upstairs. The revenues we produce from renting those facilities out, it all flows down to the second floor. A percentage of all of our revenues goes into the community support, the scholarships we have, the music programs that we have. We purchase musical instruments for students that are in need and can't afford them, or for high school students. And Trevor also managed that process, and we just got our first two instruments delivered just a couple of weeks ago.
Exciting.
To Prescott High School students. Just two tubas, correct?
Yeah, so it was actually the Mile High Middle School.
Mile High Middle School.
Okay, yes. And it's we work with all of the schools, so
right.
We have a lot of hands in the pot here in town. So for Mile High Middle School, one of the things is we have a scholarship program, so I'll just talk about that briefly.
Great.
And what we do is every year we fund out of money that we receive through, like Stephen was saying, ballroom rentals, performances in the theater, a portion of that money funnels into a fund, and we fund our scholarship program. Our scholarship program is $6,000. It goes to, this year we're doing three. Last year we did one of $6,000. This year we'll be doing three of a total of $6,000. And it goes to Prescott High School students. And we did that program successfully last year for the first time. The student is actually going to, he still stayed in state, so he's at Arizona State University. He's doing well. He is part of the orchestra, band, and drama team over there. And he's currently actually shopping around to perform with a traveling orchestra a professional traveling orchestra this summer. So he's doing very well down there. We gave him the first scholarship. But what we decided was that we needed to expand the scholarship program. And so that's where the instruments at Mile High came in. I went and talked to the directors of the program over there. And I realized that the funding is lacking for public education in the performing arts, and so we decided that that's right on our ticket, and we wanted to do something. So we gave them a $5,000 budget to pick whatever instruments they wanted to, and they chose, because of the expense of the instruments, tubas. They bought the two tubas, and we funded those for them, and so now they have kids that would not normally be able to play in the band during their middle school time are now able to play. So
the next time we see the parade coming down in Prescott, whichever parade it is, since there's so many, and we see the Mile High students playing tubas, then we should all be saying thank you to the Elks Theater and the Performing Arts Center.
Right. I think it's important for everybody to understand that we depend on them for the things that we do. So when they come to us and they have an event upstairs on the third floor, or they're going to the theater for one of our movies that we have on Wednesdays, or one of the musical shows or the theatrical events, all of that money, well, a portion of that money from everything goes straight into it. We had an event upstairs on the third floor last night with Red Molly that was in conjunction with the folk sessions, and mm-hmm. it was a great show. Red Molly was fantastic, but we were able to take a chunk of money that we made there, and I delivered it today to the treasurer, and mm-hmm. that's going to go directly into our fund for the musical instruments or the community outreach or the scholarship. We recently had also, we were funding educational purposes for two young ballet students, 12, 13-year-old young ladies, and we just found out that both of them were accepted into intensive summer courses because of the classes that we were able to support and pay for. One with the Kirov in San Francisco, and the other in, excuse me, the Kirov in Washington, D.C., and the Joffrey in San Francisco. Without the support of the people in the community coming to us and helping us out, we wouldn't have been able to support those two children and get them to achieve their goals. They're very talented individuals.
That's amazing. And what I think is important is when people think of the Elks, they think of the theater for the most part in our community. And so I think opening up recognition of all the other things you do, because it's limitless,
right,
pretty much, is really important in our community. So let's start at the top and work down. How's that?
Okay.
So talk about the third floor, and you've mentioned the ballrooms a couple times.
Yeah. Up on the third floor, we have two different ballrooms, the grand ballroom and the smaller ballroom. We're working on names for them officially.
Can't get those donors out, you know.
Yeah.
Some nice big checks. We'll name a ballroom after you.
That's a thought, yeah. But the larger of the two is about 1,500 square feet. It's on the west side of the building, has barreled ceilings, has awesome views of Thumb Butte and Granite Mountain. It's all soundproofed to absorb, and the acoustics are wonderful in the room. There's a full kitchen that's available. The other side has, it's more of a meeting space, but we've had everything from weddings to church services in there. Mm-hmm. And it's about 1,100 square feet, and it has the same barreled ceilings, which are original, by the way. When the construction began and they were working to remove all of the improvements that had happened over the decades, they found all kinds of amazing things. They found hidden staircases that allowed the Elks to go back and forth between the theater without having to leave the edifice. They found the barreled ceilings and the tin stamp that was on them. And we reproduced a tin stamp from the original design for the entire ceiling. So it's not the original one, but it's a good one. And there was also, if you can find some of the old pictures online, you see that the entire front of the building was enclosed for offices. And as they removed all that superstructure, they found the original clock that was installed by the Elks Lodge back in 1905. It's not a real clock, but it points to 11 o'clock, which mm-hmm. is the traditional time that the Elks would have a toast to their absent members. So it's permanent, and it was there in stained glass, and it was repaired and put back into original shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I've been in those rooms, and they are stunning. So they're great for regular meetings, but mm-hmm. they're also, like you said, I can imagine weddings would be beautiful in there, and especially with the kitchen available, that opens up enormous possibilities. And you have tables and all of that ready for people too, correct?
Yes, we provide the tables and the chairs for free. There's no mm-hmm. extra charge on those. Mm-hmm. But business meetings, birthdays, seminars, services, obviously weddings, receptions, anniversaries. We're good for just about anything. Yeah, we're pretty happy to accommodate whatever we can.
So, and again, they can just call the number, and we will repeat it, and we'll have it in the information. They can
right.
just call the number and get more information on how to rent that and
yes.
the cost and how and schedule it.
Yep. Do you want to do the second floor or?
Yeah, I can do the second floor. Why not? So on the second floor, we obviously have the recording studio, which we did talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That is for rent. you know, 24/7. And that's another important point that I'd like to make, is that everything in the building is available for 24/7 rental.
Wow.
We do have a turnkey operation. So if there's anything that's outside of normal hours, where maybe, you know, we've had some people who have just haven't been able to find space because they need out of normal hours, you know, whether it be at night or whether it be very first thing in the morning, we can accommodate those. Okay. Now on the second floor, we do have two separate dance studios. Okay. They both have about a 50-person occupancy. One is a Marley Ford studio, which is specifically formulated for ballet. It's a sprung, technically called a sprung Marley floor. It has bars all around it, and it was designed as a ballet studio. We also use it for yoga. We've had meditation classes in there. Anything in that studio where you'd be able to do it barefoot, or at least be able to wear some kind of soft, you know, ballet style shoes, then we can accommodate you in that room. For everything else, we have another room, which is Hickory Floored, which we've had everything from tap dance, line dance. We have swing classes that go in there, you know, Zumba classes and other exercise type classes. So we can accommodate a lot of different things. And we've had, if you name a style of dance or, you know, exercise class, we've probably already had it in there. So we do host a variety of events.
Now, do you have a schedule anywhere that people can see what it is and how to sign up for these classes? Or are they individually run by people in the community and you have to sign up through them?
So that's going to be a no on the first one and yes on the second one. Okay. So when we get our website up, which we are hoping to have launched within the next couple of months, we will have that capability on there. A calendar will be on there to tell you what events are going to go on where and on what halls, as long as they're public events that you would be able to attend. But yes, they are by individual instructors. So that is on a case-by-case basis of whether the instructor is opening it up for the public or what the purpose of the event is. For some of our instructors, they use it as more of a practice space, or maybe they have some kind of a group or troop that's practicing in that room. In that case, obviously, it wouldn't be on there. But anything that's open for the public where they're going to be charging and they want, you know, they want business, we do try to advertise them the best we can now. And again, if you call the number, any of these questions, we would, you know, be more than happy to answer. So,
on the website itself, in the top of the website, there is a link for classes that people can click on, and if they click on the link, it'll give them a list of the public classes.
Okay.
Also, in the lobby, all of the instructors keep flyers and business cards and information about their specific classes. So it is out there. And of course, they can contact us directly, but you know, we'll give them the contact information.
And what ages are the classes set up for? Is it all adults or?
Yeah, so we have all ages. We actually have a class that is specifically for 2 to 4 year olds. That, you know, teaches them. It's kind of a musical immersion class for 2 to 4 year olds.
It's called Music Together.
It's called Music Together. That is an open class, so anyone can come to that class. And then we also have a number of classes that, you know, whether by coincidence or intent, are mostly seniors. They're mostly older people. So, you know, literally ages from, you know, early childhood all the way through, you know, you know, seniors and older folks. We have something for everybody there.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
Yep.
So, and you mentioned the top floor, and I know now, doesn't Barry Barb from Elgato, doesn't he put on some special events up there?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have one coming up Monday, Top of the Elks, second Monday. We have a regular a jazz dance in conjunction with Barry Barb and El Gato Azul and Earl Duquet from
Flying Nest
Movement Arts. Thank you. And us. And we partnered together to put on a monthly jazz dance where Barry will provide nosh. We provide the space, and we have a bar, a cash bar, that we manage, wine and beer and soda, water, that kind of stuff. And Earl provides dance lessons for swing. And so before the jazz concert, he'll get everybody up there and teach them some basic steps. And then during the intermission, he'll take them a little bit forwarder, and everybody has a great time, and it's a lot of fun. And tickets, they can get tickets for those events at the Elgato Azul website.
Oh, okay. And do you know how much they cost?
$35 okay. Per person.
Yeah. So you get your dance lessons, your food.
Two dance lessons, and food.
And music.
You get free entertainment. Oh, you get entertainment. It's not free, but... Yeah. And, of course, then there's the cash bar. Yeah. But it's all you can eat, and you go.
I would like to add, you do get a free drink as well.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
There we go.
That adds a little bit more value for a lot of people.
So, and I bet that's something that actually is of interest to, you know, young couples as well as, you know, seniors and all ages would really be interested in that.
Yeah, that's a, you know, I've seen same thing as the downstairs. I've seen, you know, several younger couples come in. I would say that the crowd is generally a little bit older because, you know, the jazz scene is kind of something that they connect with, which is why it's fun to have, you know. But we've definitely seen younger people. You know, I'm mid-20s. I've seen people my age and younger there. So,
well, my son took a lot of swing lessons when he was going to college down at ASU. So maybe I can get him to bring his wife up there, and they that might be a fun evening for them.
Yeah. We'd love to have them. So, and those tickets can be bought through Barry Barb. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. Okay, so what's next? I see something about a gallery here and some other things. So,
well, the Theater and Performing Arts Center are not the only things that the foundation is involved with here in the city of Prescott. There is also the Tizot Gallery on Cortez.
Right.
And they are, that was actually the first thing that they became involved with here, the foundation. They remodeled the Tiz building and they created a place where local artists can, this would be the visual arts, sculpture, painting, photography, and the other, can bring their wares in, display them for a month or more, whatever long the program is that's going on, and be supported by the foundation so that they have a place to locally show their goods, because they are all local people and they have to be local to the Prescott area in order to do that. So there's that, and then up on the second floor there's a little mezzanine where they have, they can do little private shows for different artists. Also on North Marina, there is the Tiz Annex, and that opened a few years ago, and it is an art educational for adults and children, and they have ongoing classes on in sculpture and painting and drawing, and it's run by a wonderful person named Patty Ortiz, and if they contact her they can learn more about it or just go to the website.
I'd never heard of the Tiz Annex before, so that's awesome. I have been upstairs in the Tiz building for various meetings, and it's a wonderful meeting place too, you know. And I again, a lot of these things you're telling us about are kind of some hidden gems in our community, and especially for people who think, oh, there's no place to meet, there's no place to go. And what you're saying here is that there's a lot of places to come to.
Yes, and a lot of things to do. And if you're interested in different classes or learning about these things, is, you know, it's easy to reach out to us either through the website or email or the phone, and we're happy to help.
Okay, so let's talk about the theater, the part everybody knows about.
Yep.
And what are some of the events coming up the next couple months?
Well, this weekend itself, we have Menopause the Musical, which is on the 6th and 7th, and that's coming up very soon. They're in there doing practice right now, and setting up the stage and everything. And we have a number of shows, musical shows that are coming up. The Eagles tributes on the 19th and 20th, but they are fully sold out. They always sell out, so the next time they come around, get your tickets early. and then on 5-4, the Creedence Clearwater Tribute Band is in. Then we have on the 10th, the Gilbert Steel Drum Band, and these are a group of high school age students from the Phoenix area who provide are doing a benefit in the theater, and 50% of the revenues that we garner from that will go directly to the outreach programs, the scholarships and the music programs and everything else that we have. They're a wonderful group of kids, and if you've never seen them, you really, really, really need to go and check them out.
So, and I mean, steel drums are really cool anyway. Yeah. You know, they're just a lot of fun to listen to, and it's amazing. So, okay, and next.
Then we have Esteban on Mother's Day. He's doing a special concert for Mother's Day at 3 o'clock. That's always a lot of fun. He's a perennial favorite in the town and always puts on a good show. After that, we have a couple more tributes, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and Queen on the 18th and 31st, kind of rounding out the month. Then there's movies.
That's the month of May.
Yes, sorry. And then we have movies. We started showing movies again in the theater, how long ago, Trevor? A year and a half?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably early 2018.
So. Yeah. And we did it on the lark. We didn't know whether or not it would, you know, work out, and the community loved it. And we now seasonally have movies every Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the theater. It's donation only, and the proceeds, again, go to the outreach program. So if you want to give us a dollar, we'll take a dollar. If you want to give us $20, we're happy to take that too,
right,
and go in and see a great movie. And coming up on the 17th is Ferris Bueller's Day Off, always a hoot. And then we have we've got a little more serious, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest on 424.
And that's kind of a classic.
Yeah.
I remember when I was pretty young, you know, seeing that movie. So.
And we get a lot of that. And that's one of the things that they try to balance is doing some of the newer stuff, especially kids stuff. You know, to have like a family type night, and then doing some of the stuff like this, the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where it's, you know, a lot of people will come up to the manager, the theater manager, Colette, and say, I haven't seen this since I was in theater since, you know, however long ago. And they really enjoy being able to do that because, you know, there's very few places that do that anymore.
Well, and the other thing I think is really important to point out is that, yes, it's fun to watch movies on YouTube, but there is nothing like seeing a movie in a theater.
Right.
And with the popcorn and with the beverages and all that, I mean, it's the experience is totally different. It's just not the same.
Right. We got that a lot. The response is pretty normal, like, especially we did some of the older movies, and we did The Wizard of Oz or Gone with the Wind and some of those. Mm-hmm. People never seen it on the big screen and were amazed because they've only seen it on TV. So it's totally different experience, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. So then we get into the month of May. The Blues Brothers is coming, the original Blues Brothers with Dan Aykroyd and Joe Belushi. The Chicago, the movie, which I've never seen myself, so I can't talk too much about that one. And then Coco rounds out the month of May for us. And once we get into June, Colette has arranged with the City of Prescott Tourism. The movies that they used to have on the Courthouse Square have now moved into the theater. So every Wednesday we will have a movie that has been selected by the tourism board, and we will be showing those in the theater, and the same thing deals. It's open admission, it's donation only, and the proceeds benefit the outreach programs that we all get involved in.
That sounds great, and yep. I think that's another important point to kind of look at, and that is that you're not operating in a vacuum. You have a lot of partnerships with various organizations mm-hmm. across the city, you know, the City of Prescott itself and various other communities. So.
Well, and one of the things to point out with that is, you know, I lived in Southern California, and Stephen did as well, for a very long time. And so the community here is, you know, a big factor in the success that we've had, you know, more than just being a historical building. We've been able to build a sense of community. I mean, for us, even, you know, the Hacienda right next door to us does a lot of weddings, but, you know, this is such a tight-knit town that sometimes we'll pass weddings back and forth to each
right.
other because, you know, we know that it might suit a couple better or, you know, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've had no problem being able to work with the city or with, you know, the different businesses that are in town. And that's one of the things that's really helped us. And, you know, vice versa with them, you know, we've been able to help them a lot and help grow some of their stuff. So
and that's awesome. So, yep. I mean, we are I mean, we're Prescott, but we're everyone's hometown, you know? And I mean, I think we take pride in that, and we like working together on these things.
Yes.
So, okay, so what else did we miss?
Well, there's the theater events, and then we have separate events that go on in the Performing Arts Center, and we are currently building this program. Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned the Red Molly, that was the first that we've had. Mm-hmm. The teamwork with El Gato Azul and the Flying Nest, that's been going on for about a year now, but it's still relatively fresh. So at the top, at the Elks, we also have partnerships with the Mile High Comedy Theater. They'll be coming in and doing some educational seminars on comedy and how to be a comic, and then they'll be doing a show afterwards. And it, as I understand it, and it's still in development, that it's going to be basically an open mic, and it'll be $5 to get in the door. You come in if you want to go up there and be a comic and go for it.
What a great way to get started, you know, and figure out what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because I have a feeling some of the jokes maybe fall a little flat. Some of them, sometimes, you know, you don't know what is funny. When my boys were little, one of them said something. We were all sitting around the table, and he was sitting in the high chair, and he said something. I don't remember what it was. And we all, it made us all laugh. And he looked at us, and he said, "Not funny, guys." And that made us laugh more, you know, and so he kind of liked that. So he kept saying, "Not funny, guys," and we'd all laugh, "Not funny," you know. And so I, you know, that was this little family theater, but uh-huh. This is, you're talking about people coming in and seeing what's funny and what's not funny, guys.
Right. So. Yeah. I had a conversation this morning with a gentleman who is John, who is just in the infancy of working a program for developing actors, and he's looking for a space to possibly have them come in so he can give them acting lessons, and that would be right in our ballpark, and it would be perfect, and we'll see how that works out. So that just happened this morning, and hopefully we'll have something at the end of the month to show on that. But back to the after that, we have our next Top of the Elks on 5/13, which is Mint. They will be going. And then on 6/10, the next Top of the Elks event, One Kitty Gone, which is a new band we've never seen before or heard. So that should prove interesting. And then our second in the Folk Session series with Tom Agostino, happening in June, will be with the Tea Sisters. And they are a group out of San Francisco. Listen to some of their music. They're really good folk, blues, just wonderful sound, great harmonies, and really looking forward, and tickets are available at the Folk Session website through them. You can find that information on our website, but they're available through them.
Okay.
And then one last event we have in April was our Mid-Century Modern Happy Hour. And this is the first ever event, and it's the Mingus Mountain Boptet is going to be providing the music, and the Prescott Eats will be providing food for sale. We'll have a cash beer and wine bar, and everybody needs to get their 1950s bouffant done and their skinny ties on and come on down and shake some bones.
Well, that sounds like that's a lot of fun. So to reiterate, they can contact you by going to the website.
Right.
And is that just Elks Theater website? What's the Prescott Elks Theater is the home of the website?
The website itself, the website address is www.prescottelkstheater.com. The Facebook is facebook.com/ Prescott Elks Opera House.
Okay.
And the general information email, if they just want to send us a message and ask some general questions, is info@etpac.org. It's info@etpac.org. And that will get you information from both the theater and the Performing Arts Center all in one.
So it sounds like you have a lot going on. How much do you have time available for people to book events? I mean, you're not booked out, are you?
No, we're definitely not booked out. We definitely have plenty of space available. Okay. You know, and one of the things I want to say, I think we're getting close to the end. So one of the things I want to say before we sign off is that no matter who you are, if you have any interest in the performing arts, if you have a, you know, if you're a small business and you've been looking to want to do some kind of a seminar, if you are an entrepreneur and you want to be able to do some kind of a seminar, no matter who you are, we have a space available for you. We can work with you. We have different rates available. We're not opposed to doing deals for the right, for the right event that's going on. So there's a place, a space, and a price for you here at the Performing Arts Center. So don't be afraid to call and ask us.
Okay, sounds great. Do you have anything you want to add?
No. Thank you for inviting us in to talk about this. I think it's important that the community knows that we exist, and that is a great opportunity to partner with us to support the local community as far as the arts go.
Okay, sounds great. And we will see you at the end of the month, and I think you're going to talk about some more of the specific events that are happening then. So
yes.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye, Facebook.